Thank you. Sorry about that, sir.
Okay. Sir, could you please state your name and your ADC number for us for the record?
Chris Evans, 72774.
Okay, Mr. Evans, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are going to be conducting your hearing today, sir. To my far right is the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse. Next to her, coming to my left, is the Honorable Luis Quinones. In the middle, you have our board chair, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. To my left is the Honorable David Neal, sir. And my name is Michael Johnson, sir. And I'll be acting as your panel chair today, conducting your hearing. So I do want to notify you that you do have some supporters here, sir. You have Mr. David Goldman, as well as Joshua Golden here as supporters, sir. And you also have on the telephone, sir, as a supporter, Mr. Vernon Johnson. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir. Mr. Evans is here for parole hearing. It's for absolute discharge, regular parole, or home arrest. He became eligible for parole on November 3rd of 2002. Actually, he is paroled from his last sentence on October 3rd of 2009. He was paroled from his last sentence to his current sentence right now. If he's paroled, he will go to a consecutive sentence of 21 years for armed robbery. He's actually on a current sentence right now of a 21-year sentence for armed robbery. His sentence end date on that was October 3rd of 2009. So he's currently serving his sentence, his last 21-year sentence for armed robbery. It was, like I said, he became parole eligible on November 2nd of 2016. His end date is November 2nd of 2023. According to his progress release report, it states that he has family support as well as religious support from his pastor. Family will assist him when be able to help him gain lawful employment. He does have some recent tickets that he received. And July of 15, he received a ticket for harassment. He was found guilty. It was a minor violation. And February of 16, he was found in possession of drugs. They found guilty. That was a major. And then June of 16, he had a misuse of medicals that was dismissed. And then on August of 17, he was found in possession of drugs and was found guilty on those charges. He does have a history of discipline violation, which is not that extensive, which is approximately a page of tickets that he's received since the time that he's actually been incarcerated. He's had one parole hearing that was in June of 2002, and which was a 412B, which was granted, and he was paroled to his next consecutive sentence. He also had a parole hearing in September of 2016, which was for 31412A, which is regular parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge. That was denied. He has had some training. His last training that I'm sorry, according to Ames, was that he had a moderate text class that was in completed in July of 17. He also had that same program that he took and completed in December, it looks like, of 16. In 2017, he had also a change in substance that he had completed in August of 17. So he has been receiving some training that he's actually participated in and taken. According to the court documents, this is involved several robberies along with the theft of a motor vehicle. This is on October 4th of 1988. The defendant entered the store. The clerk came out from the back in the counter and discovered the defendant holding a rifle in his left hand. The clerk began to back away when the defendant ordered him to open up the cash register. When the clerk opened up the register, the defendant came around the counter, grabbed the dollar bills from the register and left the store. He was subsequently ID'd as a person involved in that. It was also on October 4th, approximately 1:33 a.m. in Mesa. The defendant raised up a rifle, pointed it at the clerk, and told him to open up the cash register. When the clerk opened up the register, the defendant took all of the money outside of the cash register, ran out of the store. There's also a third incident that happened in Mesa. Happened on October 4th. Mesa police officer spoke with the victim, Mr. Ted Russell. Told Mesa officers that he saw the defendant, and the defendant walked up to his vehicle, asked him to give him a ride. The defendant got into the passenger side of the car and told him to drive a few feet eastbound on Broadway. Once they stopped, the defendant told the victim that he was a homosexual and asked him if he could perform oral sex. Victim said no, and the defendant offered to pay him. That time, the victim got out of the car and ran away. Mr. Evans?
Yes.
Okay. Sir, that is the basic information that I am getting from the report, the pre-sentence report that we have attached to the files that we have, sir. Is any of that incorrect, sir?
No, sir.
Okay. Sir, so what I would like you to do, sir, is in your own words, tell the board what was going on at the time this incident occurred, what was going on with you, what was in your mind. If you could just present that information to the board in your own words, sir.
At the time, my brother-in-law and I were both involved heavily in drugs. And basically, what is said in the report is all true. And it all stemmed from the use of drugs and being lost, really.
What do you mean when you say being lost, sir? Could you kind of expound on that a little bit?
I had had a lot of turmoil in my life. I lost my family in Jonestown. And after losing my family in Jonestown, I went off the deep end. I quit caring. Mm-hmm. I no longer cared about myself or anyone else. And I used to medicate myself to ease the pain. And at that time, we decided to do whatever was necessary to obtain drugs, no matter who it hurt or who we took in harm's way. And at that time, I seen nothing wrong with it. Since then, I've learned that my actions were wrong, they were mean, and that's not the person that I am.
Okay.
So
I see that you have several certificates that you received. You've also done some college courses, sir. Why don't you expound on what you've done to change and turn your life around, sir?
First of all, I've accepted God as my personal savior. I've lived him in my life, and through taking a lot of the classes that I've taken, I've learned that I'm responsible for my actions and that I make the decisions to what I do, and that I need to start thinking before I act and stop acting out of fear and start living as God would have me to live. I've taken these courses, these college courses, to better myself. I took a course in culinary arts while I was housed in a private prison in I believe it was Indiana, Newcastle, Indiana, because that is what I'd like to do with the rest of my life, to work in the culinary arts field.
Okay. So, sir, it looks as though you got your GED while you were also incarcerated, sir?
Yes, I did that in SMU. I already had a high school diploma. But I took it just because I was sitting in the cell where I was on 24-hour lockdown. So I wanted to do something to better myself instead of just sitting there wasting away. So I went to school And at that time, that's what the office with the GED. So I was allowed to take it, so I did.
Okay, you also have several certificates on here for some religious programs that you actually got involved in, sir.
Yes, I did. That was in the beginning of my struggle with becoming aware that God was on my side and that he wanted better for me. So I took courses to broaden my knowledge of Christ and who he was and what he wanted for me.
So, sir, you have a drug problem?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. When I become frustrated or become upset about something, it's easy for me to fall back into that fear that I'm not going to succeed.
Wow.
And I learned in my treatment that is a trigger for me. So now I'm aware of that, and this last incident is what convinced me of that. And I went back to my therapist here afterwards, and I realized that I can make it, that I need to control my triggers, and that I need to lean on my support system as well as my drug counselor for help instead of keeping it bottled up inside of me.
Okay.
So that is what I'm practicing doing now.
So what kind of drugs have you been using, sir?
It was spice. I used to be a heroin addict, and I can say in the last 13 years I have not used heroin. So I beat that part of it, but I changed it for another drug, which is just as bad. And since that last incident, I've been with my mentor in here, as well as people that took the class with me. I lean on them and they lean on me, and I've helped myself and they've helped me to, I believe, to get past that. But that's not saying that I don't need treatment, because I do need treatment. I probably will need treatment for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would be easy for me to fall back into it if I lose my way. So that is something that I plan on doing for the rest of my life, and that is having treatment. Some type of treatment for substance abuse.
So, sir, you say that the correction officers found you on the yard, you had slurred speech, unable to walk straight, you had an inability to keep your eyes open for any period of time. And during the interview, you admitted to Lieutenant Williams and Sergeant Neal and CO2 Velasco that you had smoked a couple of spice cigarettes, sir. If that's kind of incapacitating you in that way, so what's the reason for wanting to do the drug?
I don't know that I really wanted to do the drug. I believe that it was out of habit, and when I'm triggered, when I was triggered, it just happened.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't want to ever do drugs again.
Uh-huh.
And I know that I need help. I need help. I need to at all times have someone that I can turn and talk to when I'm feeling that I'm not good enough, or that what I'm setting out to accomplish is out of reach for me.
Okay.
You know.
So, Mr. Evans, what kind of medication are you taking that you go and you get the medication from the nurse?
That was not medication. That's how they worked the ticket up. That was spice.
That was spice?
The only medication, yeah, it was spice.
The nurse
medication that I took.
The nurse gives you spice?
No, it was only medication that I get from them is high blood pressure medication.
Okay, so what happened when, this is something different, this is back in 2015, sir, in July of 2015, where you went to the pass out window and you were unable to, you were late, so you were unable to get your medication.
I had got bit in my eye by a spider.
Okay.
And my eye had closed up and had swollen up. And we were all on lockdown because the unit had no water. And so we were all standing in line, and I was supposed to be reporting to work, so I left to go and let them know at my job that I would be late because I was waiting in line to get my antibiotics. When I got back up to the window, she was waiting on the last person, and she told me that she was done and that the window was closed. And I took my glasses off and showed her my eye and told her that I was really in need of my medication and that I had been waiting, but I had to go and inform my boss that I was in med line so that I didn't get placed on report for being late to work. So she explained her situation and her position, and I told her I understood that. And that, could I just have my ID back? And she told me, no, I'm giving you your medication. I became irritated and combative because she kept repeating the same thing over and over, that she was doing me a favor by giving me the medication because I was late. And I don't remember exactly what I said, but I said something that was very smart and it offended her, so she wrote me a ticket.
Okay. Okay, sir, I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions. The board has no questions, sir. You have three supporters here, sir. I want to give them the opportunity to speak, Mr. Evans. You have Mr. Goldman, David Goldman, and Joshua Goldman, who are here to speak on and support you, sir. So I want to give them the opportunity to come up and speak. They can choose which one wants to come first. And then after the two speak, then I'm going to go to the phone to Mr. Vernon Johnson and have him speak. So when you come up to speak, sir, would you just please step up, say your name, and go ahead and present any information to the board that you'd like to present at this time?
Certainly. My name is David Goldman, and I have now known Chris for over 27 years. I was driving to work one day and listening to a Christian radio station, and the host had a gentleman with an organization called Someone Cares. And it's a prison ministry that pairs Christians with inmates. And I hold before me the form that Chris filled out back in 1990. And I've always wanted to have a pen pal, and I thought it would be interesting to do. So we started corresponding, and my company that I was working for at that time supported me in this. It was a Christian plumbing company. And so I began writing Chris back and forth, and then I made a decision about 6 months later to visit Chris. I lived in the Los Angeles County area, and my company allowed me to take off a half day early, and I came to Florence, a very strange place, and spent the night across the street from the prison in a little tiny, tiny motel, the only one in Florence at that time. And I met Chris, and he was a young man. I was kind of freaked out by the environment, and he was constantly looking around the room, and I said, what are you doing? And he said, that's what you do when you're in prison. You have to make sure you know who's around you. And we visited that day and the next day, and he did inform me that that his mother, brother, and sister were killed in the Jonestown Massacre in Guyana back in the 70s. And later I did many years, actually, was we were preparing for the last parole hearing. I did look it up. The San Diego State University did a study on the Jonestown Massacre, and his mother, brother, and sister were listed, and they actually had recordings and transcripts of that day where they all drank one of the Kool-Aid, I think it was another drink, and he forced them all to commit suicide. When Chris was preparing for the last hearing, he told me that the memories of all the things that he went through over the years with his parents, and his mother married several times, just upset him greatly, and that's why he told me that he ended up using the spice the first time. And the next time I went up to visit my sister in the Bay Area, I went to the cemetery that houses the remains of the people that died at the Jonestown Massacre. And there are three huge plaques on the ground where it lists all the names. Unfortunately, it's in a deteriorated state, and I didn't have that paper with me with their names, so I couldn't verify that they're there. But I promised him that we would go up there once he was paroled. Over the years, my family and I have visited Chris. About 6 months after I made that first visit, I brought my son, who was 5 years old, and he's now 32, and my wife at the time. And my son climbed all over Chris in that room at Florence. And I was all upset because, you know, you're not supposed to have contact. And Chris said, "Please leave him alone. This is the best thing that I've experienced in many years." So we, as a family, we visited Chris many, 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 many times, usually two or three times a year. Once he went to Yuma, and we have a connection in Yuma, we have friends that live there, we would visit him every time we went to visit our friends, Sheila and Terry. And so we went there since he was a little boy up till he was a teenager, late teenager. Unfortunately, my son did follow in some of the footsteps. Thank God he never went to prison, but he did get involved in drugs. And it was a very difficult time for me. Chris would call. We talked to him usually once or twice a week. It was very expensive back in those days. And we would send care packages at Christmas time. He was part of our lives. And over the last 10 years, in fact, let me talk about the last parole hearing back in 2002. We were not told that we could be part of the hearing at that time, or I was not told. And there was a report put out by the parole board at that time, and they could not understand why he had such long sentences, why he had been in prison for so many years before the first parole hearing. And I actually hired an attorney once I had went through a divorce and I moved to Phoenix. I never would have thought I would be here. And we talked to, they talked to Chris on the phone, and it was determined that there was a special law at that particular time in Arizona. Apparently there was a massive number of armed robberies. And so Chris was sentenced under this very difficult law that said basically there's no clemency, that they had to serve the major part of their sentence for each. As you may know, and I just heard, I don't know if it's true, that people that murder people will get out in less time than Chris has served. For many years, Chris has had a very clean record. I've watched it online, and I've communicated with the people that will talk to me with the prison. And like I said, we went to the attorney to try and find out if there was anything that they could do, what we could do, and they said because he was sentenced under that law, there was nothing we could do. So we've stayed in touch. My son and my former wife actually are now living in Arizona, even though we've been divorced for about 14 years. My wife is living in she's bedridden, living in community in Peoria. And but she even signed a letter for Chris indicating that she was in support of him getting out. Chris has served a very long sentence. He's made mistakes, as I have, as my son has, as all of us have. And I truly feel that he has paid his price for the wrongs that he has done. We have a support group. We belong to two churches, Desert Breeze in Phoenix and Grace Journey in Glendale. Vernon Johnson is actually a member of both churches. We have many members of those churches. They will support us. There's another gentleman at Desert Breeze that I've also asked to come along with Chris, and he is willing to do that as well. We will do whatever we can do. Originally, I had wanted Chris, when he got out, to come and live with me. We've recently had a very difficult situation come up with my son. I don't want to go into great detail, but he is going to be going through a very difficult divorce. Unfortunately, his wife is bipolar, and I can't remember the other term, but she is totally gone off. She's into crystal meth.
Okay, Mr. Goldman?
Yes.
We're going to ask you to kind of wrap it up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Kind of get repetitive.
My son said I'm too long with you.
Yeah,
so basically, we have a plan.
Okay.
It's not perfect, but we have backup. I have done some research on, and Chris has agreed that if he comes to live with us, with my son is our proposal at the moment, if he comes and there's any deviation from going to meetings with my son almost every day a week, 12-step meetings, Bible studies, church, we're trying to have it every single day so that each night they go to a meeting. And if he deviates from that, then he has agreed he will go into one of these centers, and he'll have to deal with that.
Okay. So Mr. Goldman, you know, thank you. I think those are some very good suggestions, but I do want to make you aware, sir, that if Mr. Evans is released, it is up to the Department of Corrections and the parole officer where he's going to be placed at and what program he's going to have to be in. So that is, you know, I just want to tell you that they will take in consideration, you know, the information and what you have, but it will be strictly up to the Department of Corrections and the parole officer where, if he's released, where he would be placed at and what type of parole that he would actually be on, sir, okay? I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions. Okay, the board has no additional questions. Mr. Goldman, thank you so very much for taking the time and coming in and appearing and speaking before the board.
Thank you for excusing my long winded.
There's no problem, sir. So are you next?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Good morning, Honorable Rittenhouse, Honorable Quinones, Dr. Wright, Honorable Johnson, and Honorable O'Neill, excuse me.
You just state your name for us too, sir, for the record.
My name is Joshua Golden.
Yes, sir.
And I'm speaking on behalf of Christopher Evans. I don't know what to say. I have some notes planned, but I'm terrible with notes, especially for people, but through my struggles, through my youth, everything, Christopher has been there for me in ways that my parents couldn't be, in ways that I couldn't be for myself. Just that voice of reasoning, that phone call away from what did I do and why do I care? I don't know why I care, but he's always been that strong tower, if you will, that has kind of led me in ways that my parents couldn't or steered me in the right direction through his experiences and his incarceration and his stories. I know we're fragile with time, so I'm going to just get to the point is that we do have a plan in place. And we do have goals for him, life goals, religious goals, drug counseling goals. All the goals are there, and we've talked about them. We know where they are, and we know where we stand and how we can help him. And it's now up to him to help himself with these resources, these tools that we've given him, and that we are going to be there for him 100% no matter what the decision is today, no matter where he goes from today and on. He's an old man, 63 years old. I see that leaningly, but look at that head of hair. I mean, there's not one gray hair on that head. But let him get old with us. Let that kind of wisdom sprout from his head with us, his family, the only people that he has. Truly, please. I want him to if it would be allowed, live with me. I think, you know, Christian principles are iron sharpens iron, and I mean, that's where I want to be with him. And if I know it doesn't mean we would be good for each other in this life and in the remaining part of his life that we have around my life. My kids love him, I love him, our family loves him. It's just something that we hold dear to our hearts. Even my smallest is 4 and 7, shouldn't be 5 and 8. You know, they're, when we go see Chris, when we go see Chris, all the time, every time. And when we have the opportunity to be there for him, we have. And they love him, he loves them. Let him grow old with us.
Okay.
I guess that's all I have to say.
All right, thank you, sir. The board has no questions. Okay, the board has no questions. Mr. Johnson, are you still on the line?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, Mr. Sawyer, if you just state your name and go ahead and present what information you'd like to present to the board at this time, sir.
Yes, sir. My name is Vernon Johnson. I knew Chris for about 4 months, the mailing correspondence. I met Chris through David Goldman. I've known David for about 4 years now. We do attend two churches together, Grace Church in Glendale and Grace Community Church in Phoenix. I am a men's minister myself at Grace Journey, and I will be working with Chris in that ministry to help him develop spiritually. The letters that Chris and I have shared, correspondence, the way I interpret them is he has admitted his wrongs to me. He seems to be genuine in his desire to improve his life while he's still behind the prison walls, and also acknowledges his desire to be on the outside and the fact that it's going to be a difficult journey for him. He's not taking moving to the outside lightly in any way. I have a Christian ministry degree, and I do counsel and mentor about four other guys at the moment that have actually moved on. They developed well, so they're able to stand on their own now. I'm still working really closely with one young man, and I have plenty of room and plenty of desire to work with Chris to mentor him and counsel him spiritually, and even in just being a man, adjusting to the outside and living in the outside world here. I will work alongside David, who will spearhead most of the stuff that we do on a personal level, while at the same time working within the rules and requirements that are in place by the state. I'm very committed to Chris and working together as a team with the other men that's going to be walking alongside of it. And that's pretty much all I have.
Okay, sir. I'm sure the board has any questions for you, Mr. Johnson.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Johnson, just for the record, you're not related to Mr. Evans, are you, sir?
Oh, no, sir, I am not.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board has any questions of Mr. Johnson? Okay, board has no questions. Mr. Evans, the board's going to go into a discussion. Sorry, at that time we will make a determination about your parole, sir. Is there anything else you'd like to present to the board prior to the board going into discussion?
Yes, I'd like to say, first of all, I apologize to my victims and to anyone else that I have harmed, and that if given a chance, I will be a better person. Well, I'm going to be a better person whether I get out or not, because that is my determination to be a better person. But I'm hoping that you will find it in your hearts to see that I am trying to change, and I am changing. Thank you.
Okay. All right, sir. Mr. Evans, the board's going to go into discussion. So while the board's in discussion, I'm going to ask you to remain silent. However, to remain on the phone while the board's in discussion, sir. It may appear as though we're talking to you, but we're only going to be talking amongst ourselves, sir. And then when we're concluded our discussion, sir, we'll get back with you with the decision of the board, sir. Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir.
Sir, you are more than welcome to remain on the line, sir. The board's going to go into discussion to make a determination about the parole, sir. But you're more than welcome to stay on the line if you wish to be concluded.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Okay, the board is now going into discussion. This is a situation, I think, that Mr. Evans is remorseful for what he's done. He has completed a tremendous amount of classes on a variety of topics, you know, from drugs and alcohol abuse to a religious conflict resolution that he's been taking while he's been incarcerated, taking class after class. I do think after going over the pre-sentence report and the information that we have, that Mr. Evans does have family and community support, although it's his adopted family, as his original family were all deceased at this time, that he is making the effort. He does say that he has been on drugs, and one time he was on heroin. Now he's used spikes, that he has to rehabilitate himself. I believe he said, if my notes are right, that it's been 13 years since he's used any heroin since he's been incarcerated. So at this time, I am supportive of Mr. Evans going on home arrest. However, I am willing to listen to the rest of the board. Yeah, Mr. Quinones.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Johnson. I want to follow up with that too. I'm open. I don't want to be dismissive of the fact that he's had recent issues with spice. But at the same time, I do have to give full commendation that he's stayed off of heroin for 13 years. So again, that's no excuse to be using other substances, but staying off of heroin is a major challenge in and of itself, and I still think it holds weight. This is, again, it's not a get out of substance abuse pass, but I think that's still a pretty major achievement, and that's where I'd like to continue the discussion.
Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Evans is a mature individual, and I think Mr. Goldman described him as an old man. I don't think you meant it as an insult. I think you meant that he's old enough to know better. He's old enough to know what's going on, and he has served a long sentence. I too am concerned about the major tickets in 2016 and 2017. Those are a concern. I also think he's very lucky to have the Goldmans as, you know, as such supporters of his. It's very, it really speaks well of both Mr. Evans and the Goldmans to have that kind of friendship. So I too would be in support of a home arrest type of situation.
More comments on the board? No further comments on the board, and I am going to make a motion to grant Mr. Evans home arrest 16-4-4.13 is home arrest. Make a motion to grant him his home arrest with some special conditions, some additional conditions, which conditions of his release, that he would follow all mandatory DOC condition and sanctions. I think he have to have a needs assessment for referral, counseling, vocational education. No alcohol use, random tests for drugs and alcohol. I'm going to mark on here, too, that he may not operate a motor vehicle. No contact with victim, family, or must pay restitution. Must abide by, he must partake in available programming as directed. That he has to pay his supervision fee, I believe it's $65. And that is to start after 60 days. Is it 60 days?
For sure.
And Mr. Johnson, we have to verify that he has 2 months of rent, or 2 months of funds available, I think, for his planned housing.
Okay. And I like that. So he would have to have that 2 months financial support for 2 months in order for a DOC to release him on home arrest, and that would be taken care of through the parole office and the Department of Correction. If he does not have 2 months of financial support, then he will not be released until he gets that. I think that's pretty much it. So that is going to be my motion.
I think you need to restate your motion, sir. And the only reason for it is just for the record, you were moving that he would be placed on home arrest, and you are denying that he would get general parole or absolute discharge, just for the record.
Okay. So for the record, I am making a motion to grant Mr. Evans home arrest, however, denying him regular parole as well as absolute discharge.
Yes, sir.
That there's no amendments that I previously stated.
Second.
Agreed.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Before you end the hearing, I'd like to share something with Mr. Evans real quick. It's appropriate.
Yes.
Mr. Evans?
Well, first of all, let the board let's come out of a discussion.
Yes,
and this
yes.
time you can go ahead and do that.
Let's do the motion. Let's complete.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think we were done.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Evans?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir, the board has voted to grant you home arrest and deny you absolute discharge of regular parole at this time, sir. There are some special conditions that we also added to your releases, that you're to follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions, your needs assessment for referral, counseling, and vocational education, no alcohol use, random tests for drugs, and alcohol may not operate a motor vehicle, no contact with victim family, must pay restitution, and partake in available programming as directed, and abide by all institutional rules. So those are additional conditions of your release. So are you going to be able to live with those, sir?
Yes, sir.
Also, sir, I want to inform you, sir, that the Department of Correction has a policy that you have to have 2 months of financial support prior to being released on home arrest, sir. If you don't have that, or you have a family support that can provide that, sir, then you'll be released. But I do want to make you also aware of that situation, sir. Do you understand your terms and the condition of your release, sir?
Yes, I do.
Okay, sir. Mr. Quinones has an additional comment that he'd like to make.
Yes, Mr. Evans?
Yes, sir.
I wouldn't share this otherwise, but please accept my very belated condolences for your family. I share this because there's very few people that would have a direct connection, but my brother was part of the military medical mission to bring those bodies home, and I just want you to know that those bodies were brought back with dignity.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, sir, that is going to conclude your hearing at this time, Mr. Evans. I do want to thank you, sir, for taking the opportunity and time to participate in your hearings today. Both Goldmans that are here with us, sir, thank you for taking the time to participate in the hearing today. The board has voted to grant Mr. Evans home arrest, denying him absolute discharge or regular parole. Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Sir, did you understand the proceedings and what the board has voted on today, sir?
Yes, I did.
All right, Mr. Johnson, I do want to thank you, sir, for participating in the hearing today. That's going to conclude your hearing, Mr. Evans. I thank everyone for participating. That's going to conclude the hearing at this time.
Thank you very much.
Okay.